30 seconds and counting. Astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
You're listening to It's Not Rocket Surgery on 98.9 Northwest FM.
Tower cleared.
Here we got a roll program. Reporting the roll and pitch program. Not a proper heading.
Good evening. Yes. Welcome to episode 150 of It's Not Rocket Surgery here on 98.9 Northwest FM. Yes, that's right, 150. We've made the sesquicentennial episode of this science, technology and geek culture phenomenon. 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 In the studio with me, Vlado, we have Tony. How you doing, Tony?
Fine, I am.
Thank you for that, Yoda. And also in the studio, we have Wal. How you doing, Wal?
I'm good. That was just silly.
What was silly?
Honestly, this show used to be so highbrow.
When? Maybe episodes one.
Come on, 150.
T minus one. T minus two, maybe.
You know, there should be some trend or progression.
There is a trend.
So less than 1% of episodes.
Are there a few others that are pretty? Oh, no, they're good, but they're not highbrow. Look, episode 150. It's a big one. Sesquicentennial.
Mm. You just like saying sesquicentennial.
I did. It sounds like Sasquatch. Mm. Which
got the Yeti in as a special guest.
very live.
Much like a Wookiee.
Oh.
I just looked at the signal and you both topped out.
Because that's just the way we roll.
All right, so this 17th of December 2017, Star Wars The Last Jedi.
And that is the last we'll be speaking about of this film.
Came out on Thursday.
Spoilers!
I saw it on Saturday. I think you saw it today,
I saw it this morning.
So we're all ready to give a spoiler-free review so that we don't spoil it for Wal or any of our listeners. If you want to join in on the madness that is It's Not Rocket Surgery, you can do so on Facebook. Just look for It's Not Rocket Surgery. Or on Twitter at RCKTSRGRY. Let me just make sure I've muted this so I'm not getting pings. Actually, I shouldn't know. I should. Because I haven't turned the thing on. So we'll be talking about Star Wars, The Last Jedi, briefly, spoiler-free. It's within the first 2 week window. We don't like to have spoilers. And maybe we could get Andrew Snowden in when we want
to give the spoiler episode.
Spoiler version. Sometime in January, maybe we'll see. Mm. And what we got some Bitcoin news. So we're going to talk of finance on the show. We're branching out.
So highbrow.
We'll talk about some artificial intelligence. We'll talk about space. Got some miscellaneous stuff that I couldn't lump in any coherent way.
Just going to chuck it in at the end of the show.
No, it's in the middle.
Put it up front.
But it progresses nicely. There are links. Keep an eye out for the sequence. What else we got? Some biology.
Text in if you can see the sequence. If you understand Vlado's logic.
Oh, what we're saying, Twitter, at RCKTSRGRY, or on personal devices. We don't give those out. Or 0447777989, because I haven't said that for several episodes. Yes, let's talk Star Wars. So
Star Wars.
So, Tony, what did you think of the movie?
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it?
My kids enjoyed it.
Yes.
I went and saw it at the 9:15 session this morning, so didn't have to get to the shopping centre with 10 billion other Christmas shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was... yeah, I enjoyed it. What were your thoughts?
All right, so my thoughts... so I enjoyed it. Kids enjoyed it, like, and Michelle enjoyed it. It seemed to be a good movie.
Yep.
Did it live up to the hype? Probably not. There were definitely some... all right, so Mark Hamill's reservations and requests that people don't give away the spoilers is justified, because there it would be quite easily to some of those moments that I had during the movie. I go, all right, I'm glad I didn't read anything before the viewing of the movie. So going in spoiler free is good. Did you watch in 2D or 3D?
2D.
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 Did you think it needed 3D?
No, why did it need 3D?
No, it didn't.
I haven't watched any of the others in 3D.
No, I didn't. No film needs 3D.
No.
No. And there are articles saying don't bother paying for 3D. And
you need an article to tell you this.
There are episodes. No, there were moments I saw where they threw in for the 3D novelty. But no, I wasn't. Didn't warrant it.
Yep.
Special effects, good.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah.
There were some clunky ones, I thought.
There were Lucas-esque.
I can feel myself
CGI
sinking. It's like so it's okay. It's actually all right. Oh, all right. Okay, just spoil it for me now.
So no. All right. So out of five, I'd rate it 4 stars.
That's because you don't want to give it 3.5.
No.
I'd give it 4.
It would be pushing 4.5, maybe. For a solid 4, I would probably rank it as on par with The Force Awakens, maybe a little bit above, just for originality.
Well, yeah, I like The Force Awakens was pretty much a...
New Hope reboot.
A reboot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't a reboot. But
well, everyone was terrified that they were going to screw up, and he was like, look, calm down, nothing to panic about
went
here.
Went back to the baseline.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
it will not be the greatest film ever made, but you can feel safe that we're not going to wreck it.
But this one didn't necessarily mirror Empire, although there were elements of Empire and Jedi in it. It didn't necessarily do what the first one did.
No,
as pretty much repeat the story.
And I think that they, having drawn that line, that sort of pegged it down to that. All right, we've got something solid. We've recreated A New Hope.
And I think there are a number of familiar tropes in there from past Star Wars that then went different directions.
Mm.
It's like, oh, they're going to do this again.
Yes.
And they didn't. So that was kind of good.
And I actually enjoyed those moments.
Yeah.
So and that's why I'm saying it would be very easy to spoil it by letting out certain things. So, and we do not aim to do that this episode.
The other thing that did bother me, there were a lot of characters I thought were... almost non-existent and underused in the...
Really?
Yeah. There, you know, I won't go naming them, but there are a number of characters who you'd expect to have a bit of a role,
mm-hmm.
who put their head in once or twice, and that was about it.
Okay.
Come on, Star Wars and the Star Wars films are not known for their tight storytelling.
Oh, that's true, but there are characters there, you know...
I mean, the greatest disappointing character of all time has to be Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah, yes, he popped up occasionally.
But I mean, in terms of he was set up, he was pumped up in The Empire Strikes Back to be a opponent of some substance.
He clumsily fell into a sand pit, we know.
So I'm saying, like, Star Wars does have a history of creating...
But it wasn't even that. These were big characters that didn't...
really do much.
Do much.
They showed up, got a paycheck, and then walked out laughing.
Yeah. Well, Yeah. Like, some of them are doing the rounds, doing the interviews, who might have had 30 seconds of screen time for the whole show. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to see such as, I'm going to see that character.
But that was true.
Do good stuff, because they've been in all these interviews, doing the press rounds, and, oh, look, 30 seconds. That's about all we got of them.
So. Yeah, that was true of Mark Hamill after episode 7. I mean, we saw all of 15 seconds of him.
Oh, the search for
that, that's true, but that was more a build-up, and yeah. It was used where these were just, we've got a lot of things going on in 2.5 hours and I can only spare you 30 seconds.
Hmm.
Do you suspect it was an editing thing? No. That there may have actually been more of their role in the story, and the editor just went, Jesus, going over long. All right, I'm going to roll a dice and see which one of you guys
could have been
screen time. Had,
things to... You know, things to do in the longer version. When we see the director's cut at 4.5 hours, we might see a bit more of them. What did you think of Mark Hamill's acting?
I thought it was on par with episode 4. He hasn't really improved in 40 years.
He can look at the screen in a
serious fashion,
serious face.
Yeah, right. Look, it didn't grate on me. I didn't expect much of him because I didn't think of much of him in episodes 4, 5, and 6. I didn't think he was a really particularly good actor. But the character, I liked the character. So
I did. I just thought. It was a little overly theatrical at times, I thought. But anyway,
he's
a Jedi Master, he's so no maybe Alec he's allowed Guinness. To be, you know.
He's no Alec Guinness.
No.
He's not from the school of understatement.
No.
No.
So...
Father!
No! Yeah.
Some decent cameos.
There was...
Sounds like the cameos actually had more screen time than some of the people you were expecting to actually see.
Yeah, actually, yeah. True. Some cameos did.
But look.
All right, I'll ask one more question.
Okay. Ooh, we may or may not answer.
That's fine. Do you feel that the film has set up the last film to be a film you actually want to watch?
Yes.
There are things that, yes.
You would like to see resolved?
Yes.
And are you sitting on the edge of your seat? Did you walk out of the cinema going, oh, my God, I can't wait for the third one to be released?
Not so much, not compared to the last one. So I felt more like that, wondering who's...
Where they're going to take it.
Is Rey a Skywalker and all those sort of things. There are elements of that, but I don't feel as curious as to see what's going to happen. But there are definitely answers, the questions that... remain unanswered, and you're wondering where to from here. So yes,
but it sets up the cycle, you know, the rebellion rises, the rebellion gets knocked down, the rebellion rises again. You know, it's a
thing.
It's a familiar flow that's gone through the whole universe.
Yep.
And story. So it sets it up as the okay, now it's time to. You know, come back and win this one for the Gipper. But
I do have an addendum question.
Oh,
you do not have to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that how you get only one question? Is that right. You add an addendum?
Well, no, it was kind of based on your responses. So, aside from the, you know, crippling liability it would inflict on the rest of you to not actually talk about it for, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months.
2 weeks is a window. 2 weeks is a window.
Yeah, we're going to see the whole story in 2 weeks, so you better see it.
Do you think that a person needs to see it in the cinema, or they could just as easily get everything out of the story film from seeing it, you know, at a decent-sized TV screen at home?
I think... There are big set pieces there.
Definitely.
You want to see in the cinema.
I would, for the battle of Crate, I would...
Crate.
I only remember
that... As opposed to the battle of Box and the battle of...
I only remember that because of Loot Crate. So it's the battle of Crate.
Loot Crate.
Does that mean in the future Loot Crate will be having a Crate Loot Crate?
Yes.
Sorry.
So, yeah, Battle Crate is the...
without even getting paid by them.
is the one that you see in the trailer. So, yes.
Yeah, see the white with the red coming up.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some big set pieces there. Absolutely. Obviously some big space battle sequences. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Star Wars. Familiar stuff.
All right, so from a humour point of view, because, I mean, that's...
Well, they killed the only funny character last time.
Han?
Come on. The moment Harrison Ford rocked up, The Force Awakens just stopped taking itself so seriously and actually became a fun film.
Yeah.
And then they stabbed him in the chest.
Did you...
There were
a few moments.
Not big ones.
But there were a few.
You'll have to remind me of some of them.
Without spoiling. There's one early on.
Oh, yeah, the one early on, yeah. You got me there.
Right at the start, come on.
There were some little ones there.
Humour is in the ear of the, or brain of the beholder.
Yeah, no, look. There were a couple of moments where I laughed out. So
there's no Jar Jar Binks humour, so that's got to be a plus. That's a
definite plus.
Right.
So, look, didn't answer as many questions as I had hoped it would. Created some new ones.
Did it maintain the grounded, gritty feel of the Star Wars films?
No, I didn't feel grit.
Like, for example, when you see Rogue One.
Yes.
It's very much this universe looks lived in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trash is on the streets. You know, spaceships look like they need probably a service and a bit of a wash. And
yeah, there's a little bit of that. No, I wouldn't say.
I'd say the settings for this one are actually a little bit different to the previous settings.
Okay. Mm. There are still hints to that universe, parts of those universe existing. Yeah. But
Crate, for example, is one.
Yes.
Yes, I think more so than any other, this has different... The action's taking place in a different space, shall we say.
What about the political... suggestions?
Let's go to the Imperial Senate, where we will discuss this issue. No, not
those. More references to socioeconomic situations that we find in our world now.
It's the rebellion against...
You mean the character Prunt?
It's been there all the time, right? It's been in all the Star Wars. You got the rebellion, who you stand for a certain thing. You got the Empire, who... It's no different than any other episode of Star Wars.
But I can see people of certain political persuasions actually not liking that part of...
Oh, God. Wow.
Diddums.
Exactly.
Dry your eyes and suck it up, princess.
All right. So was it? So on Rotten Tomatoes, it's basically...
Haters gotta hate.
So it's made $45 million on the opening night.
Is that all?
Yeah. So it's the second biggest Thursday opening ever. So is that all?
I have one question that may be spoilery.
Mm-hmm. Which we may or may not answer.
Yep. Do you feel that Adam Driver's Kylo Ren is going more Darth Vader or more Anakin Skywalker?
I don't think we should answer
that. I don't think so.
But, yeah. No, we can't answer that.
Fair enough. No, that's fine. That's why I prefaced the remark, the question with that you don't have to answer this.
I think his character was a lot better in this one than the first one.
Less spoilt child crushing TV screens with the Force.
You know, the wine is strong with the Star Wars line, but
it's definitely got so that the Skywalker blood. Ren. Yeah. I wanted to go to Tardy.
That's right.
I had to pick up some power converters.
Blue milk.
But I think he was, his character was a bit better in this one, I think. Because I did feel it was a bit emo Vader last time.
Yeah.
But it was less of that, I think.
More complex.
Yeah.
I mean, in many respects, it was like when he took off his helmet, it was kind of like when Sylvester Stallone took off his helmet in Judge Dredd. It's like all of the scary, impersonal nastiness kind of disappeared and all of the whiny human being, flawed human being sort of like injected in.
He's a better character.
I don't know who to take offense for, Kylo Ren or Judge Dredd.
I am the law. All right, Rotten Tomatoes. So it basically the critics love the movie. 93%. It's sort of like top 10 for movies of 2017. But the audience giving it a 56%.
57
apparently.
57%.
Which I,
as I look over Tony's shoulder.
That's right. And which I contrast for Andrew just before, that Daddy's Home 2 gets an 18% from the critics rating.
Yeah.
But a better rating from now, the audience of 59%.
The articles that I've read about on this point say that
spamming to me.
A lot of the people who go see it early are true hardcore fans.
Who will never be happy.
Well, and that's the thing. So they've got a lot to live up to to these fans. They would have a lot of preconceptions about what they expected of the movie. And so because it's...
The problem is, like, because you know it's a trilogy, you can't view any of these films in isolation until all of the pieces are in play.
Yeah.
And then you can go, okay, now I get it.
And I guess now that you mention that, I can see the parallels. It's not as bad, but the second Lord of the Rings movie. At the end of the
series, I was going to ask you about that.
It was like...
Because just the way you guys are talking, it gives me that impression that it's kind of like the Two Towers.
Not as bad as that, no.
No, no, that was just a movie. Oh, we'll stop it here, shall we? Let's pick up again in 2 years' time.
There was more closure.
For the most bloated movie of all time.
It was more standalone. It was in that sense. So... Not dissimilar to Empire Strikes Back in terms of knowing there's going to be another one coming, a lot of questions unanswered and wondering where to, what are
we doing? I think Empire was such a good film because at the end of Star Wars, obviously, the rebellion was on top.
Mm-hmm.
As if any rebellion really could be.
Award ceremony. Yeah. Everyone got a prize.
Right. The princess was like really happy. Even the robots got fixed. So, you know, no one really paid any hefty price except for Alec Guinness. But, you know, whatever. But in the second film, it starts off going, yeah, we pick up our story a bit further down the track. And you know what? That things golden period, well. It didn't really last.
No.
They've been kicked out from... They're now basically on a frozen, you know, hellhole. Trying to like eke out a tiny existence, you know. They went from tropical paradise to frozen north.
Yes.
And then they got kicked out of that.
Yes.
And bits look like they've been running for some time and they're breaking down and all they can spare is a couple of fighters to get the transports away and it's all looking pretty shit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's made up for by the introduction of Yoda, the expansion of what the Force is from Obi-Wan's kind of vague discussion about it. No, shut up.
Okay.
But also foreshadowing the fact that it's not like there were good Jedi and bad Jedi and, you know, Obi-Wan was a good Jedi and Darth Vader was a bad Jedi.
Mm.
It's that, no, you understand, like, being a Jedi doesn't suddenly make you a good person.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be tempted, you're going to... And he said, it's like, it's easier, it's quicker. So you get like a more in-depth explanation of something that up until then was the MacGuffin that drove the plot forward in the first film. And then you have another confrontation. There was actual loss. Han is in a box.
Mm-hmm.
He may or may not survive. Mm-hmm. Luke loses his hand. Yeah, he's got a robot one, but whatever. But he had... And he found out something really terrible.
Bob is in a sandpit.
No, that's film three. there was actual stakes. Characters actually moved. And even though it was the middle film of a three-film set, it still held up really well on the first, you know, as a film itself, which I think is why it's so popular.
Yeah.
The impression I'm getting from you guys is that this film's kind of like those train stations that are in the middle between major stations.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, look, you got to pass through in order to be able to get there, but if you didn't stop there, you wouldn't miss very much.
No,
definitely not.
I mean, it's difficult to actually give it a proper review without spoilers. And Doug's chimed in saying, stop talking about Star Wars already, it's opening weekend.
Exactly.
So I think perhaps our spoiler-free, as much as we can discuss spoiler-free, it's probably not giving it doing it justice. We've both said 4 stars. Both put it on par with the Force Awakens. So it's up there as the better Star Wars movies.
I'd say if you like Battlestar Galactica, you'd like this one.
Oh, yes.
just for an obscure yes. review part.
That was blatantly obvious.
Yes.
all right, so...
Andrew's now very confused.
And did you know it's only 5 months until the next Star Wars movie?
Is that the Han one?
Han movie.
The it's called Solo. Untitled?
Solo. No, it's called Solo.
Gee, they really struggled with that one.
So Solo, coming out in May. It's the shortest period between two Star Wars movies ever.
In the history of films.
And we did need a thirst quencher.
Damn it, I was going to make a fan of joke.
It's only 30 minutes long, though. Going to slam it down fast. All right.
Working hard to be a solo man.
So that's it. So no more spoilers, no more potential spoilers. The critics don't like it. Well, critics love it. Fans are divided, and we think it's
we'll see the what early reviews like in
2 weeks' time. Yeah.
I reckon when I had a chance to see it, and we can cut loose and just go nuts.
Yeah, so
put a pin in it. We will come back to this film.
Put a sock in it.
We'll talk about it ad nauseum when no one cares about it anymore.
Let's go. Moving to we'll do a song and fashion break.
I think you've gone half an hour straight. I think
we have gone half an hour straight. All right, we'll go do a song and we'll be back in a little while. How's that sound to everybody? Let me
awesome.
Cue up a song. All right, the song that I'm going to play first up is a mashup. I haven't played a mashup for a while. It's a mashup of the top pop songs for the year.
Oh dear God.
The hits of 2017. So let me just make sure that I'm in the bottom.
As done by the Gregorian chant.
Or I'm in the top. Choir. I'm in the top, aren't I? All right, so here we go. So it's a longer one, so 10 minutes. Yeah. Here we go. And we're back. That was, that was some station breaks. And prior to that, we had the hits of 2017 mashup.
At which point, you just went, "This is crap."
Yes.
You went to kill it.
No, well, we played 9¾ minutes of a 10½-minute song. So,
but it all sounded the same.
It did. That just, you know what that tells us, Tony?
That I'm old.
That we're old.
That's right. You're dated.
All right. So let's move on to the miscellaneous category. Cracked phone screens.
Don't do it.
They're going to be a thing of the past.
Bull dust.
Oh, them there's fighting words.
I've seen the way my kids treat their phone. I don't care how.
Sorry, I was going to go. I've seen how you treat your phone.
Hey, mine doesn't crack though.
Oh, come on! I've seen your phone. It's cracked from the beveled edge, wasn't it?
No, actually, it's not the phone that takes the pounding. It's the unbreakable case.
All right.
That's the thing that gets broken and shattered. Yeah,
I've broken a few cases.
I thought you showed me the broken beveled edge.
I showed you the back of my back phone. Of There's phone, the back yeah. of my okay. phone. So the glass on the back of the phone is just like a crazy jigsaw puzzle.
Yep.
But the
on the front, it's just
it's immaculate
thing.
Beware to say goodbye to cracked screens as research of the at ANU Australian.
They've come up with better glass.
It'll cost you an extra $2,000.
Better glass, you reckon?
Well, that's what
shatterproof glass for mobile phones.
That's what Dr. Lee Losk says.
Yep,
he's brought his research to ANU
called aluminium silicate.
Ah, did transparent
aluminium.
Did we talk
aluminium. About this last week? We did.
No. That's the transparent aluminium, which is a slightly different thing.
All right.
From Star Trek.
Mm.
Ah. Yeah.
Scotty was right.
But, this is making it more flexible.
Okay.
But as strong. But he does say, I don't know whether it's scratch resistant, though.
Oh, okay. It won't shatter, but it'll be scratched up to all.
Because that's the thing. It's got to be hard so you don't scratch it.
Yep.
But it's got to be flexible enough so when it bends, it doesn't shatter.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, oh, look, I've made it flexible and it won't shatter as easily, but I don't know if it's hard enough not to be scratched. So I think we're a little way off.
As long as we can buff it out the scratches, it'll be fine.
Buff it out?
Yeah.
Well, you can always put toothpaste. You know, I've got the Gorilla Glass screen protector on top of my screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose if you made that flexible and you put your...
Does that work or is that just clever marketing?
What?
Gorilla Glass.
Well, it's harder, but it does mean it is more brittle. So it doesn't scratch as easy.
Just breaks.
Yeah.
But that breaks as opposed to the screen underneath it.
Correct.
All right.
Doug got to say? Thank good you're not talking about Star Wars anymore.
now he's just complaining about mobile screen discussions.
Ah.
Mobile phone screens are a con. Why don't they make the screens out of protective plastic, case plastic?
Actually, Doug has a... He's had a run-in this week with a phone screen... Well, not this week, a few weeks ago, where his screen cracked so badly that as far as the phone was concerned, he was basically pressing every function at once.
Multitasking. Your wife's using your phone.
And you're getting a call. And you want to talk to Siri or whatever it is on your phone. And
all right. All right, so moving on from unbreakable glass.
Yeah.
Net neutrality. That was a big news story this week. The FCC.
Because the FCC won't let me be.
So the FCC.
Try to shut me down on MTV. But it's be so empty without
Federal Communications Commission.
So here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Do I give a shit?
Sure you do.
Why? It doesn't affect ours. We still don't have our networks broken down. It's only American service providers that are affected by this.
Yes.
So their ISPs now don't have a rule
that says they can't.
That says they can't
treat customers differently.
Well, they actually didn't have a rule that said that. What Obama did was he kludged it, and he said, well, we could make a law in Congress to say that you can't treat different sets of data differently.
Yes.
But I can't get Congress to make that rule, so I'll get the FCC just to call you a common carrier. So the same as a telephone. Mm-hmm. So now you're a service provider.
You can't discriminate. And so, of course, Trump came in and said, just get rid of that.
Right. Because the ISPs have argued that, you know, that does other things besides the net neutrality and it should get rid of and Congress should just make laws, which they won't do. But at the end of the day, does it affect us? Because it doesn't affect our ISPs. They're still under Australian law. So
true.
All these things are popping up on my Facebook. Do I care?
So the way I see it is you do care.
Make an opening.
No, so the way I see it. You do care because
I'm too ignorant to actually
your providers one way or the other. Like Netflix, let's use them as an example. So they're going to be slapped with extra charges potentially.
Are they?
Potentially, unless they make an agreement with, they could be have extra costs that they will pass on to their users.
Maybe. That's
why should I worry about what happens to
the evil scenario?
I don't get to see anything from Netflix.
No, not you, but there are Netflix users in Australia. So Tony and I,
my heart, bleeds for
you. You don't care, but you don't use the internet.
I don't get any access. No,
you don't use the internet. Period. You're the most curmudgeon-y of the three.
That's right. So that's the doomsday.
I prefer my entertainment's
out.
Analog. Thank you very much.
But no, you don't. You use DVDs.
No, I haven't watched a DVD in ages.
No, you stream it still, don't you?
So, all right, so one
it's
of
the...
Let's say it comes digitally.
Yes, yes, yes. But it's very rare that I get a chance to.
What are we talking about? Are we in After Dark already?
No. That's what he's after, but you don't have to acknowledge that fact.
I said, do you want to talk about how net neutrality is going to affect your porn? is that what we're up to?
Well, apparently a lot of people are concerned that that's going to be the one of the implications of net neutrality. Free porn's no longer going to be free anymore.
Well, one of the things that the ISPs have said is like, oh, this is good. We can do good things. Like we can offer a family-friendly package to people, right?
Yep.
Which might just mean that your standard package is your family-friendly package. And if you want a bit more...
Sorry, can I have that again?
If you want a bit more, you might have to pay a bit more.
Let's say I have to name the show. You want a bit more.
So there's an article.
I have this vision now of Tony selling access. Look, come join our family friendly plan, and if you want a bit more,
you just
come talk to us after dark.
You know, candid photo. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Know what I mean?
Say no more. There's an article on Popular Science about the lies, 11 lies that about net neutrality. So,
do you believe them?
Do you believe the lies or do you believe that they are lies? Or is this just anti-propaganda spreading?
Yes.
Well, given the biggest lobbyists were the carriers, your Comcast, your Verizons, they were the biggest lobbyists against
you. You also had Netflix and Google. They were huge, and Apple, they were huge lobbyists on the other side. So you can't say you had big lobbyists
against
on one side.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you had big lobbyists on both sides.
You did.
Yeah.
So
what do you think will happen?
I reckon nothing much.
Not a lot. All right, moving on.
The doomsday scenario. Nah.
Doug.
Someone else thinks other things will happen.
Angry young man.
Yes.
Angry young man, God.
Says, what? My porn is going to be slower? How can you say that doesn't affect us all?
Only if he lives in America. That's in Australia, true. It'll be the same speed. It'll be as slow as it's ever been.
As slow as it's ever been. As slow as it's ever been.
Yes, I like mine slow.
Having the days go by at the water.
All right, moving on. Amy's dead. AOL Instant Messenger.
You really had to explain this to me.
So AIM is one of the early chat applications, programs. Before apps were a thing, they were called programs.
You said it's the one with the flower.
Actually, that might be...
Chiseled tablets are gone.
IRC. That's right. Anyway.
I remember my father-in-law used to use it. Hmm. He's the only one I ever saw use it.
Have you listened to the latest 20,000K? It did a story about this sound that is used in the UI and how... AIM was was a pioneer in terms of creating audible usability interfaces. So, anyway.
Obviously did them wonders.
They turned it off on the 15th of December.
And they went... Dun, dun.
And the one person who was there, fellas, come on.
Well, you've been saying that for quite a while, I think. Is anyone here? So hello?
The University of New South Wales unveils. I've said that before.
Veil and unveil. It's like up and down.
Unveil is, we've discussed this before.
Unveil is where you put the cow back in.
Nope, this one's not done. Unveil it.
This is deja vu, because we've discussed this before. Unveils. Unveils. Complete design of silicon quantum chip, computer chip.
See, this is the problem with English. Unveil actually means to reveal.
Engineers at the university have reworked silicon microprocessors to create a complete design of quantum computer chip.
Qubits.
Which would be what, Tony?
It's a measure. Guy. He had a round head.
And a little like trunk like a nose.
That's right, he used to bounce on cubes.
Isn't the qubit what they measured the arc with?
That's right. It's the distance from your...
That will finally make all of those people happy.
Elbow.
Hmm. Is it?
Tip of your thumb to your elbow.
Which thumb? Cubit.
You've the same thumb as the elbows. Same thumb as the elbows. Anatomy. I'm an engineer.
Same thumb that the elbow is on. Oh, thank God for that.
The thumb of the same arm that has the hand with the thumb that also has the elbow.
The cellus with
the
palace.
I'll draw you a map.
Chalice with the palace is a brew that is true.
The flagon with the dragon.
According to the University of New South Wales, the design, which can be manufactured using most standard industry processes and components, comprises a novel architecture that allows quantum calculations to be performed using existing semiconductors components known as CMOS, complementary metal oxide semiconductors. So CMOS is the basis of all modern chips. So basically they're using... existing stuff, existing ways, they're just doing it differently.
So it's not existing.
To make a quantum computer.
Isn't that innovation? Innovation.
Mm. Now, isn't that just incremental improvement?
It is.
Well.
Which is the opposite of innovation?
No, not necessarily.
Because
I've used a technique to create something, it's like saying I used a crane to build something completely new. Oh, isn't that an incremental improvement because you used a crane? Just because I've scaffolded this new design on silicon doesn't necessarily mean it's it's just an incremental thing. I've just used a technique that I've already known to make my new innovative thing.
So you're saying that because they've used something old in an area that it previously wasn't used, that was the innovation?
It's an innovative use.
No, because your silicon is basically an on-off, it's a lot of transistors.
Right.
Right. So it's not a qubit. So how do you make a qubit in silicon? This is why I think this is rubbish.
Oh,
anyway.
Sorry. We were blundering into an area where we thought, innovation, not innovation. Tony's going, no. The real issue is that the article is shit.
How do I make a qubit in silicon? Bizarre. I need to see a paper.
All right. While you're looking that up, new battery boffins could triple range of electric vehicles.
Oh, geez. This is going to be just like one rage fest from Tony after another.
Scientists create self-applying membrane to protect cell.
And there's the next one.
A new method of designing it batteries.
Sounds like condoms for batteries.
Cooked up in the University of Waterloo in Ontario could triple the range of electric vehicles, a new paper has claimed.
No, our interpretation of the new paper.
The development described in the article, an in vivo formed solid electrolyte surface layer enables stable.
Sorry, I fell planning. Asleep now.
Can you break down what that means?
No. Even the words by themselves don't make much sense. It's in the energy journal, Joule.
In vivo means in the battery itself.
Mm-hmm.
Vivo, last battery.
Formed Jolly. Solid electrolyte surface layer enables stable plating of Li metal.
Metal! Researchers, is that soft metal?
Researchers. I've got to play some Whitesnake now.
Please don't.
Rocket! Yeah!
That's Left
Zeppelin. No, that's definitely.
Left Zeppelin. All right. Researchers estimate that the improvement could increase the normal range of electric batteries from 200 kilometres to 600 kilometres. That's three times.
Three times. So
the calculations are correct.
Yeah,
checks out.
Yeah, because the only thing involved in batteries and range is some constant we then multiply by three.
Wait a minute. This time I have the paper.
You have the paper.
All right, hurry up.
I know my phone's
it's gone blank.
My phone's not downloading it.
Listening to Tony describe innovation because Brano has electrolytes.
It's what plants crave.
We were at a shop today, and I made actually two of the shop assistants said I like money, and I go, "Have you seen Idiocracy?" And they go, "What? You haven't seen Idiocracy?" No, gave me a receipt said. So I wrote Idiocracy on the back of it. So watch it. Check it out. If you check like money, you like this.
If you like money, you like baiting.
Like baiting. All right. So you're poo-pooing this article too.
No, I'm not poo-pooing it.
No?
You're reading it.
I just said it's got lots of big words.
Reading the paper.
Scanning the paper, I believe, is... Like, unless Tony's become some sort of idiot savant that can just digest...
You're half right.
...quantities... of information as it just flicks past the screen at, two font.
All right.
Although he does have his magical glasses on, so...
Magical glasses.
I want my glasses today so I can read.
So Elon Musk...
He's not picking up through osmosis.
Elon Musk has announced that some people who bought caps for his boring company, they used some caps to fundraise.
Oh, yeah, this is a dig in the hole one.
Yes.
I was confused for a moment.
The boring company.
That's right.
So, the tunneling company. He said that, 10 lucky people.
I got a lucky cat.
Who purchased.
Got a golden ticket.
Basically get to a tour of the company's.
Just remember, nobody ever goes in and nobody ever comes out.
Yes. So, 10 of the 35.
Secret ingredient in Tesla batteries is humans.
I expect you to die, Mr. Bond. So 10 hat aficionados in appreciation of their exquisite taste in millinery. We have picked at random to tour the LA tunnel and drive boring machine. So
that's because they're bored. They needed some excitement.
Board members. Any board members get to...
That's all right.
Boom, boom. And... Last in the miscellaneous category. 300 years ago, wine glasses were seven times smaller than they are now.
Seven times?
Seven times smaller.
That's because we're in Lushes. I saw a thing that said they're double the size they were in 1990 already.
Yeah, so Georgian, not from Georgia, but from...
Georgian as in period. English period.
Yes. Four
Georgian
bearers.
Is how it's pronounced.
Georgian.
Georgian.
No, I like Georgian. It has a has a ring to it.
Yes, a ring of ignorance and stupidity.
Oh. How are you feeling there,
How
buddy?
Does that relate into in comparison to the Dickensians?
The Dickensians?
Their workhouses are better.
The forebearers definitely drank a lot less.
Victorians. Sorry, keep going.
FUs.
As opposed to the Victorians.
Anyway, seven times smaller.
Seven times smaller.
Yeah.
So
there's a cream for that.
According to an analysis...
There's a pill for that.
411 wine glasses since... analysis of 411 wine glasses since 1700... from 66 millilitres to a whopping 449 millilitres. So
that's just because glass blowers are getting better at their job. They used to be shit. Shite.
But you know, was that like for a port or a sherry, you know?
Yes. The port glasses were nanorods.
Thimbles.
Thimbles.
A mere thimble of port.
All right, and that was the last story. No, there were a couple of astronauts.
You just like randomly going through. You've gone off the running sheet.
You have.
Oh, the couple of
others. Hang on, there is extreme laser bursts.
Oh, no, that's crap.
So here is your problem. You've written stuff down and you're just jettisoning it left.
Autonomous
right.
Helicopter completes Marines resupply simulation. And
you said that mystical word simulation.
Frantic. Plane search ends unexpectedly.
By finding it.
No.
No, that's ending expectedly.
Well, no.
Otherwise, why would you search?
All right. So this was a local story. A wild goose chase leads aviation authorities to a RAF museum. So one of the beacons... The EPIRB beacons.
Yep.
They
in a museum plane went off.
Basically, it had corroded, and basically, it was sitting there.
Like, help me!
It went off, and they went looking for a plane in distress, and found the
one in Moorabbin.
No, I think it was Point Cook.
There's 20. Which one's the one that crashed?
RAF Museum, Point Cook.
There you go.
So it was a plane that crashed 21 years ago. So they found it. All right.
Good to know.
All right. Station break, song, and we'll come back and talk about the finance.
Okie doke.
Woohoo!
Woo!
And we're back here on 98.9 Northwest FM. It's Not Rocket Surgery. That was POTUS, Presidents of the United States of America. We're not going to make it from their album, Presidents of the United States of America.
It's Trump. It's Trump. It's Trump.
Yes. episode 150, the sesquicentennial episode.
Which one? Keep trying it.
Sesquicentennial.
Yeah.
One more time.
Sesquicentennial. Sesquicentennial.
I love the fact that it's like you get it out and then you go, did I get that right? I did. Oh, centennial.
Sesquicentennial.
Yeah, sesquicentennial.
With Wal, Tony and Vlado. This is 17th of December.
All right.
2017. It's 18.4 degrees outside. I probably haven't done a temperature reading for 6 months.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's good.
It's warm. So it's about the same temperature it was 6 months ago.
11.48.
Finance.
In other news.
So Disney's bought Fox.
Parts of Fox that aren't damned for all eternity.
The assets. So they've left Fox Sport and they've left Fox News. And everything else is
theirs.
That's
right, because Satan already has a lock on those. You know, so not even Disney's lawyers could unpick those legal contracts.
So this means that Disney now own the X-Men,
yeah. 20th Century Fox.
20th Century Fox. Does it include The Simpsons?
Yes.
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 So, all has come to pass. More Murdoch
jokes.
Well, yeah. Why more? They were actually made plenty of those before.
Does this mean that also that Firefly is now owned by Disney?
I guess so. Was that a Fox? Was that a
Firefly is not coming back.
I'm not saying it is.
Let it go. I'm not. It's gone. It's like keys. When you drop them in the lava, you don't go after them anymore. They're gone, baby.
I was just merely pointing at something.
So, apparently in 1998, The Simpsons actually predicted this happening.
A division of Walt Disney Company. Love it.
Yeah. So, episode originally aired November 8th, 1998, and they...
And Disney finally saw it and went, oh, that's a good idea.
We should get around to signing that.
Well, they were right about Trump. We better do this.
So, basically, what people don't realise is Matt Groening wrote Futurama as a current affairs program, and The Simpsons was a historical drama.
So, do you reckon in 100 years' time, Matt Groening will be considered like Nostradamus?
Maybe. Matt Groening
the Quatrains
is Fry, who went to the future.
Oh.
It's a autobiographical piece, and now he's come back to tell his tales.
Poor guy.
Could be, and he's done them like the Quatrains. He's sort of broken them up. So that people can't really use them to their own
advantage.
Only the
right people can find the answers.
They can only see them after these things happen.
That's when we find Michael Jackson as a large, bald, white guy in a mental institution, we'll know that he truly saw the future.
We will. Wow.
Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa.
All right.
So that means, yes, that the big nerdy news is maybe Avengers will see something
as X-Men.
X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Like there aren't enough superheroes in the movies already?
Oh, look, it is going to be so jam-packed.
Fantastic, surely not the Fantastic Four. Not even Disney can save
that. No, it's going to be like the news team encounters in Anchorman.
they're the History Channel.
That's right.
I killed a man.
Brick, where did you get that hand grenade?
That escalated quickly.
So $68 billion in stock.
Yes.
They paid.
Yep. That's a lot of cubes.
That's more than what Frank Lowry got for Westfield.
It is. But, you know.
That's because, you know, 20th Century Fox is worth something.
Oh.
Westfield's pretty big. It's international. There was Westfield Westfield in Annapolis.
So one in north of DC as well. So plenty of Westfields. So
yep.
All right. So basically, bringing all the family back together.
Bringing it all together. So the only one that's missing is Spider-Man from Sony, but
he's on loan already.
He's on loan because Sony went, "Oh, money, thanks.
Yeah. I like money."
Oh, so the next one will be a remake of Idiocracy with the X-Men.
Who owns that? Is it not 20th Century Fox? Bitcoin. Bitcoin's basically
gone mad.
Gone bananas.
Bitcoin's going to deplete the energy grid is the call.
Well, at the moment, they've been talking about a Bitcoin bubble for a long time, but it's now... And I think this story from a couple of days ago said 16,900. It's broken 17,000. I think I saw something 19. I think I saw 19 today.
19, there you go.
I can just do it. But basically, yeah, Bitcoin bubble is either getting really, really inflated or it's not a bubble. Everything's a bubble.
That's right.
So that's what I like, because you would do two completely different things in that instance. That's what makes statements like that so useless.
Well, the thing about
either it's really terrible, in which case get out now while you can, or it's actually the leading edge of a great new thing that's coming through, in which case stay on the track.
So one Bitcoin at the moment is worth 26,000 Australian dollars.
Yeah.
Or, you know, three bananas.
One Bitcoin. And if you see the graph, it looks like one of those ones that asymptote to the y-axis.
It's going to be infinite inside of 3 years.
So obviously more people are mining bitcoins because it's going up. They're saying Bitcoin's network energy has increased by 25% in the last month. So if you keep that growth going, by the year 2020, it's going to be using all the power on Earth just to mine Bitcoins.
All right. So compared to the Barbadian dollar, it's worth $39,980 Barbadian dollars.
Just in case you've got a few Barbadian dollars laying around at home.
But that's because, remember, Bitcoin's not hit by a cyclone or a hurricane every year.
But it is hit by other things.
All right, so...
You know, what we have, what was it, Mount Fuji? What was the currency exchange in 2009, I think it was?
Yeah.
That one of their large currency exchanges got hacked and someone stole all the Bitcoins.
Yes.
So...
I bet they're happy about that theft now. The guy who did it.
That's right. Yes.
19,890. So in a day, because I heard
what news, a difference a day makes.
It was 19,000 today, early today. It's 19,800.
Yes. So I was interested to see how much energy it takes to get a Bitcoin.
And?
You could power an aircraft carrier off of it.
Well, I'm not quite sure, because if you look at buying a Bitcoin mining machine by itself, they give you the you know, the amount of Bitcoins you'd get per month, which is usually in the order of 0.0003 or something Bitcoins per month at a machine. But one guy had something like 16 GPUs hooked up to one computer and a room just full of fans.
I was about to say.
Because once you're mining the Bitcoins, you're basically cracking an algorithm that takes up a lot of energy.
Yep.
And I think he was making... These 16 was making him, and this was a couple of months ago, so Bitcoin wasn't worth quite as much then, was making about $500 a month in Bitcoins, and that was 16 GPUs cranking it away 24 hours a day.
Right.
And using about $200 worth of electricity.
Right.
So he was pocketing $300. A month
to make. No, I think he was profiting $500 after he took away electricity costs, but not the cost of his setup.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might think, I could go mine some Bitcoins, but it actually takes a bit of grunt. And generally what you're doing is doing a community thing. So you basically... put over your computer processing power, and as a community, 50 people mine the one Bitcoin, and then it gets shared around between you after the 2 months it took all those CPUs to mine one Bitcoin. Yeah. So, you know, maybe not what I'm going to be doing.
So how much was he making profit? He was making $500 profit?
A month.
A month. So a month ago, it was at 7,000.
Yeah, so he's probably doubled that. He's making $1,000 a month out of his buying 16 CPUs and just cranking them away.
So at what point do people go, screw the environment, I'm going to go off and mine me some Bitcoin?
Well, no, each CPU probably cost him $500.
Yeah, so?
So now he's got, what, $500 profit a month, 16. So after 2 years, he starts making a profit.
So this time last year, it was at 900.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, yeah, it's going.
Yeah.
Going gangbusters. It was worth doing it.
But it could fall over too.
It could
because
fall over.
Well, it's not driven by the same.
That's currency. That's
the same things as normal currency.
Yeah.
Because it's nation independent.
Yeah. So tomorrow someone could hack it something and the whole worth of it could drop because everyone just panics.
That could be another Mount Grok.
Right. Mount Grok, was it? Yeah. So it's vulnerable to other attacks to currency that normal currency isn't. So it could just pop and go pop.
Yeah.
That was a not so dramatic, but like that.
Grooves in the heart.
Yeah.
I can't hear the pop sound without thinking grooves in the heart. The groovy.
But yes, I do feel disappointed I didn't buy some like 6 months ago and doubled my money. Yes.
All right.
That's right. You're too busy investing in Tesla, though.
That's right.
You know what else you're disappointed in? You're disappointed that you're not a 6-year-old boy who's making $15 million a year reviewing toys on YouTube.
Oh, he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He was like number 2 or something on YouTube.
Yes. $15 million a year just reviewing toys.
Yeah, I saw something like that.
Was it?
So, and that's another thing that net neutrality might take away.
What?
The right for little boys toys. To...
People's ability to make money.
Going to take away kids' toys.
To monetize the internet.
That's right.
Where was it? Because he had something like... Where was it? He had so many billion likes on his...
article.
His best one.
So this boy, Ryan, his name's Ryan, and he's 6 years old, and he makes money on YouTube.
Hi, my name's Ryan, I'm 6 years old, and I've got lots of toys.
So six-year-old Ryan, who plays with toys, mesmerizing millions of children across the globe. Since he was 3 years old, Ryan's parents have been capturing video of him opening toys, playing with them, and reviewing them in inverted commas. For videos posted on the YouTube channel Ryan Toys Review. Ryan's last name and his place of residence is closely guarded secret, and not without reason.
So the exactly. top earner was a kid called Daniel Middleton,
mm-hmm.
who basically plays Minecraft on YouTube and has 17 million followers.
Right.
Apparently, combined, the top 10 YouTube stars earn $127 million between them for the last year. Whew. That's why people shoot themselves to try and get on YouTube or put their heads in cement inside...
a mixer.
No, a microwave.
A microwave oven. Oh, you weren't here last week. No, you missed the whole microwave
oven. But I got told about it.
Yes.
All right. So moving on, talking about money. French approaching US scientists with $70 million anti-Trump climate grants. So basically the French are trying to nick all the American climate scientists.
Who are sick to death of living in the dumbest country on earth.
Cool.
Which is a bit of a call when you're in Australia.
It's, you know, the French like a good Trump troll.
That's true.
So they've got...
What'll get this guy annoyed?
Screw you, Trump.
All right.
I'm going to take all those scientists you didn't want.
Won't
care.
Moving into space. Space. NASA and Google just announced they've found another solar system just like ours.
Oh, just like us.
A major discovery on Thursday, they announced another solar system with 8 planets.
It's when they look at through their telescope and they see someone with a telescope looking back and going...
that finding is due to the discovery of a new planet, Kepler-90i, a hot rocky orb circling a sun-like star called Kepler-90, which is 2,545... That's a... comma, not a decimal point.
That's a French one.
It's not. It's a not a French article.
2.5K light years away.
Light years.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a long way away.
And planet was found using machine learning.
It was. So that was the more interesting part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the aspect. AI going over all the
which is
all the Kepler photos to try and work out which ones, rather than the human eyeballs that have been going over them before.
Because remember, it doesn't need to eat. It doesn't need to sleep. It doesn't feel pity.
But I mean, they had a lot of success with the
Skynet.
Skynet. Yeah. And it absolutely will not stop ever.
Because I thought it was amusing them saying it was a solar system like ours. It had the same number of planets, but most of them were pretty much inside the Earth's orbit. If you map them together.
Yeah. It's like.
It's
insane. Okay. Jeez.
Goldilocks zone, man.
Here you are. Yeah, that's the problem with people is they focus on the differences, not the similarities. I mean, we're all humans.
That's right. We've all got legs.
That's right.
We've got, like, green legs with big bulgy eyes, all right, that doesn't matter.
The historic launch of the SpaceX reused rocket. Delayed, but went up. Successful. The payload is due to reach the ISS today.
So it didn't explode?
No.
How's that news?
Well, it's the first time they reused the reusable rocket. So it's news in that sense.
NASA's no longer behind the eight ball.
astronomers are checking if that interstellar object that we spoke about a few weeks ago, the Umi-Umi, Mui-Mui, whatever it was, Mui-Mui-Mui. I remember that because we broke into song with Louie-Louie.
Mui-Mui.
Oh, yes. No, see, I went Shaggy and he went Louie-Louie.
They're checking to see whether it's a alien probe. What?
He said anal.
I said alien.
I went the wrong probe. Alien. Okay. Alien probe.
Tell you what,
it's still the right probe. It's just the wrong end of that probe.
It's from Uranus. Went past it anyway. Astronomers are checking if the weird interstellar object is an alien space probe.
I think it came back negative.
Oumuamua?
Yeah, it's a rock.
It's a rock. Okay. I checked, though.
But it was long and skinny.
Hmm.
You might have...
Yes, looked like a cigar.
Yes.
We knew that. But
yeah, we're all good.
We're all good? Moving
we're
on?
We're all good that it's not aliens coming to check us out. Which is a little disappointing, really.
They announced a while ago that NASA are going back to the moon instead of going to Mars. Trump signed that piece of paper.
Their hats, they changed their minds like they change hats.
No, they're going to the moon to go to the Mars.
Yes. They are going to the Mars.
But what he signed...
We shall land there via the moon.
What he signed wasn't anything.
No. Because they go, here, Mr. President, get out your colouring crayons.
Pretty much.
And get ready to sign this.
Because it wasn't... what do they call it? What's he been signing? The...
Repeals?
No, the...
Presidential decrees?
Not even
execution warrants?
The standing orders that he's been signing. It's not one of those. This is just a letter of intent that he signed. So there's no funding attached to it. There's no planning. He's just gone, we're going to the moon. Make it so. I'm not going to give you any more money and... there's also some people who suggest this might be him diverting money away from climate change research by NASA as well.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that later.
Oh.
Well, not NASA, but diverting funds. The Tesla Roadster is all an illusion. We spoke about that a few weeks ago.
What?
The story about Elon Musk sending a Tesla Roadster to Mars. It's still been doing the rounds. Recently.
I think we said it was Robbie Seaton. You told me it was Robbie Seaton. I was disappointed.
No, we did. But, I mean, it still did like another week and a half of news rounds. So we're saying it again. It's rubbish. Pentagon secret search for UFOs.
Yep. Pentagon's looking for UFOs.
Funded.
Didn't Leonard Nimoy host a show talking about that exact thing?
In Search of.
Mm.
I used to love that show as a kid. That's where I learned plants had feelings and would kill me if I attacked them.
And the crystal skull.
On the crystal skulls. Oh, he had everything.
Spontaneous human combustion.
Yep.
The Pentagon, at the direction of Congress a decade ago, quietly set up a multi-million dollar program to investigate what are popularly known as unidentified flying objects.
Yes. Generally reports from Air Force pilots who encountered them.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried that they might be Chinese or Russian
probes.
Technology, but given the... No, I won't say it.
Could be anything.
It could be anything. but apparently the senator who pushes this is... he's a believer. He's a true believer.
Oh, he's been watching too much History Channel.
Too much X-Files is...
It's not enough as
an old senator.
I want to believe.
So...
Yes.
So although it might be, you know, a fairly... I think it's coming from the loony fringe of the senators.
Otherwise known as the center.
The center. That's right. But that's all right. Find me a UFO. I'm a believer. I'm just a very disappointed, constantly disappointed believer.
So after all, the consensus
was to believe.
We you really to couldn't find anything of substance.
It'd be cool if aliens came.
It would be cool.
But unfortunately, nothing stacks up.
No. All right. So... how are we going for time? Almost 12 o'clock.
Oh, I know.
We're rocking along.
Moving through pretty quick.
Biology.
He's really rocking through now.
Yeah.
Biology.
Try biology.
I'll be there already.
Well, we can do a song. You got a song you want to play? I got a song.
Yeah, why not?
Got a song. All right, cool. We don't have a station break. We can play it on the other end of the song. Cool. Okay. You got a plug already?
Yeah, wow. I already had it set up.
Oh, you're using
just got to make sure you got the other plug ready to roll.
So is it a Mighty Morphin plug?
Mighty Morphin power plug.
So
we're not going there.
Mighty Morphin power plug.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm going
to... I need to take a station break.
So we're going to put this one on, aren't we? So whenever you're ready, hit play. Here we go. Back soon. And we're back. Yes, that was Holiday in the Sun, Sex Pistols.
Yep, Summer Holidays.
Michelle's not a fan.
Not a fan of Sex Pistols.
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's punk. It's what we do.
It's what punks listen to.
That's right. It's like the Happy Sumo.
That's right. It's about three chords and the truth.
That's right. It's because all we knew. All right. It's 12:07, and we're into the biology section of the running sheet. So CDC
banning words.
All the words.
Bad words. I have the best words, and these ones aren't.
No, so CDC has forbidden the following words from any correspondence, I believe.
From any official releases, mm-hmm. reports, whatever have you. You're
so forbidden terms are vulnerable.
Yep.
Entitlement.
Yep.
Diversity.
Yep.
Transgender.
Yep.
Fetus. Evidence-based and science-based.
That's right. All bad words to be putting in stuff.
Mm.
Because they have connotations that the CDC don't want to put out there, or maybe the current administration don't want to put out there. But yeah, they gave them possible solutions to not using those words. Such for example, instead of science-based or evidence-based, CDC bases recommendations on science in consideration with community standards and wishes.
Right.
So, you know, if the science isn't quite up to, you know, community standards, for mm-hmm. example, like it's based on evolution and creationism, is you wouldn't use it.
Right. Which community are you talking and whose standards?
Any
pocket within the community standards?
That's right.
So, it's lowest common denominator?
That's usually the way it works in Trump land.
Right. So, anybody who objects to the use of a phrase or a political theory can't use it.
That's right. Although it says that the Department of Health and Human Services said the CDC will continue to use the best scientific evidence available to improve the health of all Americans.
Right. What about the words entitlement and diversity? Why can't they use those? Are there alternatives for those?
No, they didn't give alternatives for those. There you go.
Can you think of any alternatives for entitlement?
No.
No.
Anyway. Vulnerable.
At risk.
Highly at risk.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm
not sure what alternative word they use for transgender. Apparently you're not allowed to say that now if you're a CDC official.
Gender in transition? Is that allowed?
Maybe.
Gender fluid?
But yes.
Stop accusing men of overacting. Man flu does exist.
It is. It's real. I've had it.
Oh, my
word. I've told my wife about it many a time. She doesn't believe me.
So basically, I think it was a Canadian study.
I have this runny nose and it means I have to lay here in bed and you have to go get me food.
The fight against the ridicule of man flu has been taken up by a doctor who says, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, that he delved into the issue after growing tired of being accused of overacting. In a treatise based on previous studies, some scientific, some notably less so, Dr. Kyle Su not only puts the case that men might indeed experience worse cold and flu symptoms than women, but also explore why such a difference might have evolved. I don't think the research does point towards men having a weaker immune response when it comes to common viral respiratory infections and the flu, said Sue, a clinical assistant professor in family medicine from the Memorial University of Newfoundland. So he's Canadian. This is shown in the fact that they have worse symptoms. They last longer. They are more likely to be hospitalized and more likely to die from it.
That just says a lot about how weak we are.
That's right. You're going to be hospitalized.
Yep.
And they will unveil you.
Unveil you, my friend. Unveil you.
But others were not persuaded by Sue's arguments, pointing out
who knew
that many different factors can affect how bad a bout of cold or flu is.
Yeah, generally whether you're a male or a female.
Among them, the author points out that mouse studies have suggested that testosterone can dampen immune response.
Mouse studies.
To influenza, while certain female sex hormones could boost it. What's more, some studies on a small group of humans revealed that the cells from premenopausal women show different immune responses to the type of virus behind the common cold to those of men of the same age. The difference was not seen when cells from men were compared to those of postmenopausal female peers.
So there's now old lady flu.
Yes, I guess.
That's on par with man flu.
I guess old ladies are just as likely to die of pneumonia as old men. I don't know.
Except, you know, women are smart enough to actually, you know, go to doctors and get themselves checked out.
That's a cultural thing.
You know, and just generally take it more seriously because, you know, they feel like they have a lot of commitments that, you know, it's not up to them to whether or not they just lie in bed all day going, I feel sick.
So Sue also explores whether there are evolutionary explanations for the differences. Among the theories put forward, Sue noted higher testosterone levels might offer upsides when it comes to competing against other males that outweigh that possible negative impact on their immune system, or that being more under the weather keeps males bedbound and hence potentially out of the way of predators. It's what we'd like to do here.
What would you like to call this one, Andrew? Since I've done my share for the day.
All right. I believe I've used the expression rolled gold. Bullshit.
Yes.
No. I think this is more like fairyland bullshit.
Fairyland bullshit.
Yeah. See, you know, it's not actually high quality, but from what you can tell, the person who's speaking it is, you know, taking their own, you know, he's smoking what he's selling kind of thing. And, it's long on speculation and short on any kind of causal mechanism that such speculation would be justified in doing, you know. And clearly this guy has decided he's a cultural anthropologist along with being a...
But you know what the result of this article is going to be?
Nothing.
No, that men will be able to say, look, I have man flu, it's a real thing.
No, it's not a real thing. It's stupid to even consider that it's a real thing.
All right. The genome of the Tasmanian tiger.
Yes.
Provides insight.
That's your wife saying, suck it up, sunshine.
Maybe we just know the housework. Let me just open this up. Maybe we just know the house will not get cleaned or the ironing done, so we just get on with things. That's women in that sense. The sisterhood.
I'm thinking the sisterhood is strong. Has no sympathy for you.
No, she doesn't. I know that.
That's, you know, hard that's done by.
No.
Michelle, you know.
I rarely get sick, but when
his
I get sick,
pain is
I get
real.
That's what we always say. I hardly ever get sick, but when I do, I'm floored, you know. I believe that until this year.
So the Tasmanian tiger is going to make a comeback.
No, it's not.
Isn't it related to a chicken or something?
A chicken. A wallaby.
The kangaroo. The wallabies.
All right. Not an Australian chicken.
Not to the dingo.
Tastes like chicken. The genome of the Australian Tasmanian tiger.
I'm pretty sure that they just called it a Tasmanian tiger because it had stripes and they just didn't know what it was.
Yes.
Well, it was
it was a carnivore.
It was a carnivore marsupial. It had a pouch.
Yes.
But the
that should have told you it wasn't a dog.
No, but it had the same morphology as the dingo. Very similar skull shape, very similar. So it was a great example of convergent evolution.
Yes.
We have two very different species
that kind of end up playing in the same space.
And looking pretty much the same because that's, you know, pretty much optimized for the same space as well. Yeah. So they were a great example of that convergence. So, you know, when people first saw them, oh, they're dingoes with stripes and a pouch. But but the other thing they also pointed out was that it looked like their diversity and stuff was lacking, and they were on
their
way out.
Which is why the dingoes are still here and the tigers are gone.
Genetic diversity of the thylacine was doomed even before it was limited just to Tasmania, they were saying.
Yeah, so it was starting to die off. We hastened it dramatically, though, one might say.
That's what we do.
So, you know, maybe a couple of thousand years it had left in it, but we...
just forwarded that.
No.
But they reckon they've got enough...
the week.
They reckon they have enough DNA in the samples from Victorian Museum.
Yep.
To perhaps want to do a Jurassic Park with this and recreate it,
Well, you have whole DNA, so all you have to do is take probably if it's close to a wallaby in vitro, an egg with this DNA, and then it will give birth to something probably
30-40%
thylacine-like.
Yeah.
Could we do this for the dodos? Do we have DNA for the dodos? I don't
know. Maybe. Do you want a dodo? Delicious.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't mind trying it.
Kentucky Fried Dodo.
I heard they're very nice with dill.
A dill dodo. Someone had to say it.
It wasn't even that big of mine, was it?
No.
Just stop on it as you walk past.
I just walked through the tripwire and it went bang in my face.
No, you just heard this pop and then you kept going.
So,
all right.
Yeah. One to Vlado. I'll give him that one.
So, speaking of altering genetic things, avocados.
The force is strong.
Somebody's said that the hand injuries from people cutting avocados is a real thing, and they should actually remove the seeds from the avocados. So, selling seedless avocados.
How hard is it to cut an avocado?
Obviously, hand injury.
How hard is it to, like, you know, keep your hands away from the cutting?
I've never cut my hand cutting an avocado, but then that's...
Because you're not a moron.
Thank you for the vote and confidence.
That's the first time I've ever heard him say that.
It's not evidence-based today.
Well, let me put it this way. You passed the avocado test.
That's right. So
is that how you tell? Here's a knife and an avocado. Go at it.
It's called a cocktail avocado. Yes, it's a seedless avocado.
So it's all avocado.
All avocado, all the time, 24/7.
Does that mean it'll be cheaper to smash them on your toast?
No, I doubt it.
You just get more avocado per toast.
At the price of avocado. Market price.
I think avocados is like Bitcoin in terms of the price of these things.
It's because you got to mine your avocado.
You know the word avocado means?
Tell me. Enlighten me.
Testicles.
But there's only one.
But the shape, the general shape. Anyway, my kids found that very amusing when that little factoid was shared with them. So they can look at avocados.
Sounds like balls to me.
So moving along. It's 20 past.
Yes,
20 past 12. A couple more stories and then we'll be out of here. Have you seen the robotic arms that you can add to yourself so you end up with three or four arms?
Doc Ock.
These are a thing on sort of Mashable's Twitter feed, and it's robot arms that will have you multitasking like crazy. Robotic arms attachments will make you look like Doc Ock from the Inami Hiyama Laboratory. They're called Meta Limbs. Robotic arms you can control using sensors and trackers in your legs and feet.
But what am I going to do with them?
You can, while you're playing cards, you can scratch and pick your nose. I don't know.
You can't do two things at once.
You can't. How do you control them?
With your feet. So they've got little controls on your toes. So you can do things with your toes.
There's a reason I never played the drums. And that's because I couldn't coordinate all my limbs at the same time. It sounds like a disaster.
I thought you were making a reference to Def Leppard.
No. You learn to play the drums and you hit the bass and you do the hi-hat and you play here and it's all... And, I was completely uncoordinated at it. I could kill someone with these. It's like... Yes, all myself. I rip my own head off.
Nice.
I'm eating and I try and scratch my balls at the same time.
And suddenly, dramatic thumb through accident. The eyeball.
So
I was thinking of something more dramatic than that.
So speaking of robots, we spoke about the security robot that ended up in a fountain in Washington a few months ago.
They've given it a cattle prod and sent it after the homeless.
Yeah, in San Francisco, they're using it to ward off homeless people.
Because it's even more crazy than they are.
Yeah, but apparently some people have attacked it with barbecue sauce and given it a bit of an ass kicking.
The natural enemy of the robot.
That's right. It's not stairs, it's barbecue sauce and angry homeless people.
It's not very threatening. What can it do to you?
It just moves you
come
on.
Come up and go, move on, yeah, move on.
That's right. Beep, beep, well, beep. You guess you can't sleep. If you've got this thing beeping in you, it's like an alarm clock that comes
But if you,
to you
fill all its holes with barbecue sauce...
It shuts down.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it seems to be a practical piece of advice.
Sophia, remember we spoke about Sophia, the AI robot.
With the baby.
Who has a citizenship, who's a citizen of Saudi Arabia, who wants to have a baby. She's now an advocate for women's rights. She's actually...
Good luck with that.
So she's pushing for progressive values in Saudi Arabia. Sophia is a big advocate of women's rights, for the rights of human beings, so that this is how we're developing... this, yes. So, yeah, she's an advocate for women's rights in Saudi Arabia. Good on her.
I suppose they can't stone her, or they can't.
I'm sure they can.
Virtual rocks.
Virtual rocks. Don't throw virtual rocks.
There's Google's earbuds for the Pixel, language translating now.
Oh yeah, look, it's.
It's going to happen. Yeah, so I guess the first week back in January will be our review of 2017. We'll talk about, and then the following week we'll make predictions for the following. So that'll be the first two shows of January.
Yes, as I get to free up the universe from thwarting my predictions and thus delivering on what 2017 should have had.
So, all right, got 5 minutes left. A couple. We'll just scoot to the bottom of the.
Will we?
Yeah, we'll scoot.
Sure.
Yeah. Are we scooting?
Why are we scooting? That was the correct question there, Tony. Not what was scooting, why? Keep him on touch.
Why and where to?
Above the line.
No, so we spoke about... Well, we skipped the voices in your head article. The monkeys.
Hey, the monkeys.
Japanese monkeys. Scientists say Japanese monkeys are having sexual intercourse with deer.
Oh, dear.
I was waiting for something like scratching scrotums or, monkey poo.
Adolescent female monkeys in Japan have repeatedly engaged in sexual behaviours with sika deer for reasons that is not yet clear. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss. According to researchers who study macaque behaviour, this study published in a peer-reviewed Archives of Sexual Behaviour follows up a single report from earlier this year of a male macaque mounting a female sika deer in Yakushimi Island. That report was intriguing, but co-authors of the new study told The Guardian it was essentially anecdotal. Even the sexual nature of the intercourse is not clearly demonstrated. Looking at different sets of relationship, adolescent female monkeys and deer, particularly male deer in Minu, Japan, and researchers found the interactions of that definitely seemed to be sexual in nature. Is this what Corey Bernardi was talking about?
No, it's what Dr. Veckman was talking about when he said
Dogs and cats living together.
Okay.
Mass hysteria.
Okay.
Fire and brimstone. This is the end of the
end
world
of days,
as we know it.
My friend, end of days.
All told, there were 13 successful pairings and 258 separate mounts.
And how many children?
None.
Zero.
Because they're not the same species.
I know.
There were 8 failed attempts.
They couldn't climb up the butt.
So, yes, it's happening. In days.
Yeah. I think you'll find that there are things happening
here
out
on
in the world.
It's not the apocalypse.
That may seem strange, but, you know, let's not get into otters.
No?
No. They're horrible.
What about otters?
Otters and seals, man.
Really?
Just don't go there.
Okay. Is there a special corner of the internet for
he said, don't
such
go
things?
There.
It's just, if you've ever seen those pictures of otters where they lay on their backs and they're holding hands.
They're very cute,
said,
yeah.
You know, otters mate for life and, you know, they're holding hands so they don't drift apart. If you knew otters are the most horrible creatures on this earth.
And I love his tattoos like
disgusting creatures on this earth, you'd be repulsed by those pictures.
He knows where those hands have been.
Oh.
Yeah, don't get me started about otters. Oh, I'm afraid you have, but I'm not going to go on any further.
It's too late for otters now.
All right. It is just shy of 12:30. We're going to
go on to dugongs.
And manatees?
No, just dugongs.
Just dugongs?
Yeah, come on, man. What do you got against manatees?
Nothing. I'm just...
It's all about the manatees.
There was a question. If you didn't notice from the inflection in the voice, there was a question. And manatees?
The way it went up. Manatee.
My best friends.
All right. It's harsh. Apparently manatees are very nice creatures.
The cows are the
same. Tony's been told.
So I've been told by people who know manatees. Oh, look, I know people who know manatees.
So manatees' tails go side to side,
like,
and dugongs go up and down.
Is that
the other way around? I believe so. It's one of the differences. I don't know which is which. And one of them has a part of a dorsal or a pectoral, and the other one doesn't.
Okay.
I always thought fish went from side to side and mammals went up and down.
Yeah, and that's what I thought.
Such a waste.
Okay.
All right. Episode 150, the sesquicentennial show, is in the can.
If we didn't get the visit from the Sasquatch, very disappointed. I was promised.
He was delayed by otters.
There's a gang of otters.
That's right. It's a gang of otters just...
Thank you, Wal.
Thanks, Vlado.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Vlado.
Thank you, Doug and Michelle, for your interactions during the evening.
I hope everyone's had a acceptable 2017 and
yes.
We'll see them in...
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year on whatever holidays you have.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you in the new year.
Woohoo! 2017 in the can.
In the can. Automation is on. Good night.
30 seconds. Ignition sequence start.
Here, we got a roll program.
It's not rocket surgery. The latest in science, technology, and geek culture.
Astronauts report it feels good.
Sunday nights from 10:30. Right here on 98.9 Northwest FM.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Computers now have primary control with critical vehicle functions.
The Eagle has landed.